Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. I am your lovely host, Elissa Walker Campbell. Come on, join us online right now at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Well, we're going to continue going around the horn with our very own Andy Pondillo, our YSR producer. We were hitting on in our earlier segment, talking about the Astros, some of the movement, the excitement that's been taking place. But let's pick up where we left off, Andy, and talk to us about just this star-studded, the 2015 MLB Hall of Fame class. Where in your mind does it rank all time?
I think it ranks very high because you don't usually see four guys getting the necessary votes to get in. I don't know if any of these guys are, you know, top 10 players of all time, so it doesn't rank in that regard, but all these guys definitely had their unique ways of going about things and unique ways that we'll always remember them. So I think it's going to be fun. I like what I said in the first thing was I just like how different each one of these guys are and how differently they went about their games and how successful they were. Very interesting careers to follow, all four of them.
Okay, talk to me about Mike Piazza and Jeff Bagwell. I mean, will they eventually or when will they get into the Hall of Fame?
Well, those two were the closest to getting in and excluded. Mike Piazza, the greatest hitting catcher of all time.
Oh, yes.
So it's hard to imagine that you're not going to put him in at some point. You know, obviously, they link these guys to steroid accusations, and that's never going to
end. Why do we do that? Why do we do that?
That's always been confusing to me, why the power hitters are the only ones that are punished by this, because if we've learned anything by, you know, these Mitchell reports, by Biogenesis and all the different things that come out, sure, the home run hitters are the staple for performance-enhancing drugs, but that's not the use a lot of times. A lot of times they're to preserve a career, they're to keep you out there while you have an injury, and we've learned that pitchers have abused it just as much as anyone, and pitchers very rarely punish, and I'm not accusing any of these Hall of Famers that have gotten in that they have been doing it, but I also will say that anybody could have been. There's no telling. It could have been a utility infielder. It could have been a pitcher. Heck, it could have been the bat boy for all we know in the 90s. It's so hard to tell, and it's unfortunate that these guys are being held out of the Hall of Fame because of what people believe, perceive, who did steroids and who didn't. It becomes a witch hunt. As for Bagwell, the best first baseman of his era, not so much just because of his hitting, because there were a lot of powerful first basemen in that era that kind of waters down the numbers, but it's because he played the full game. There's very few first basemen these days, especially, that do play the full game. You have your guys that hit, they're at first base because they either don't have a DH or they already have a DH, so they got to stick them somewhere. And, you know, Miguel Cabrera, for instance, the phenomenal hitter, probably the best pound-for-pound hitter in baseball. The guy can't play defense a lick. Bagwell was an excellent fielder, gold glove caliber. If he didn't play with JT Snow in the National League, he would have won a lot more gold gloves. And an excellent base runner. 230-30 seasons, you're not going to see that out of many first basemen. You don't even see that out of center fielders. So what Bagwell was able to do to play the complete game makes him a Hall of Famer in my book. It's just a shame his career was cut short before he could get to 500 home runs. That would have probably given him a lot bigger case to get into the Hall.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Since we're talking about the Hall of Fame, let's digress for just a moment. What is your perception of like a Mark McGwire, a Barry Bonds? Are you saying that these guys should be getting into the Hall of Fame as well?
I think all of them should get in because it's part of the era. If you want to put an asterisk on them, I think that's perfectly fine. You can just label it. You can have a wing.
But is that authentic? Is it true?
And you can have a wing in the Hall of Fame and call it the steroid era and put them all in it. Heck, they're still in the Hall of Fame. You know, you say it's not a fair game. I think it was a perfectly fair game because we found out that, heck, everybody could have been doing it. And the pitchers benefited from this just as much as any hitter did. There was terrible pitching in the 90s and early 2000s. Baseball goes in waves, and right now we're seeing a wave where you see pitcher after pitcher after pitcher. These guys are absolute studs right now. The guys that are competing right now in baseball, you know, their Hall of Fame chances are going to be shot from the offensive side because there's just so much good pitching, and that wasn't the case in the 90s. I don't know what happened. I do think that did help the power numbers. I'm not going to deny that. It definitely helps when you have some juice in those arms, kind of muscle one out when you don't connect with it on the sweet spot. But it's just, to me, it was a fair playing field. It was legal. They were not doing anything illegal by MLB rules and regulations. They finally changed it. Now, yes, if you're caught with it, Ryan Braun, for instance, he should never go to the Hall of Fame. He was a cheater. He broke the rules. The rules say don't use performance-enhancing drugs. He lied about it. He got caught. but it was different back then. And it's hard to tell some of these athletes not to do it when they look around in the clubhouse at their opponents and half everybody else is.
What about Pete Rose?
Pete Rose is an interesting case. I used to be on the train that he shouldn't get in because he lied about it, about the gambling on baseball. But as time goes by, we see some of the characters that do get into the Hall of Fame, not always the nicest characters. I don't know if he's the best guy off the field, but the way he played the game, he played it better than just about anybody, the all-time hits leader. It's hard to say that you're not going to put the all-time hits leader in the Hall of Fame. I think it's time to put him in.
But, Andy, don't you think there should be, like, moral absolutes? We're lowering our expectation levels. Aren't we compromising ourselves just a bit? I mean, what does this say to the fans, to the younger kids?
You know, it in a way, yes, it does. But there already are guys in the Hall of Fame that probably aren't the best moral characters that have made it. So, for instance, like Ty Cobb. You know, every time you read about Ty Cobb, was that he was the biggest jerk out there. So, I don't know. I think that if they had the numbers, I think it should be held against them if they're a fringe Hall of Famer. If you're just a fringe guy, you hit 450 home runs, played 16 years, you had a solid career, but you're not quite over the hump. I think those types of characteristics should play against you. I think that's a good way that people can get back on you for the way you've treated people over the past. But if you have over 4,000 hits, if he hits 700 home runs, Barry Bonds, you know, it's hard to not put these guys in no matter what they did on or off the field.
Hey, Andy Pondillo joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Our interview is being brought to you by Progressive, comparing rates to help you save. Now that's Progressive. And Andy, talk to all of our audience across the nation right now where they can go and check out some of your work online.
Well, I post on ClimbingTowersHill.com, the podcast Astro Chat. We do it once a week and definitely be kicking that off a little more as spring training gets rolling around.
Take us right now through what are some of those top MLB storylines going into 2015?
Well, for me, the top storyline's got to be the reformation of the American League. I really see that there's some teams that were at the top of the food chain that may not be anymore, and then there's going to be a division, the American League West, which is going to be very exciting. I think that's the division I'm going to want to watch the most, just not because the Astros are in it, but because of the level of competition we're going to see. In my opinion, Seattle Mariners become maybe the best team in the American League. I'm willing to say that right now. I really like what the Mariners have put together this year. Nelson Cruz, Robinson Cano, Seager, a very formidable middle of the order, excellent pitching staff. Really, you really lack to find many holes on this team. Maybe a little short on lineup depth, but the overall run production they have in the middle of the order, I think, will offset that. I like the Mariners, the Angels. I want to see how these guys are going to fight it out, the American League East. I really don't know if there's a good team in that division. You know, all the way through, I think you got a bunch of 85, 86 win teams, but that can make it very exciting having four different teams compete for a title.
Andy, a pleasure. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon because the season will be here shortly.
It will be very exciting just a month away.
That's right. Much more straight ahead tonight. YSR, you stay close.